It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 12th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Around the world, we are still on a tear when it comes to app consumption. Last year, there was an estimated 75% growth in app usage. That's according to the mobile analytics company Flurry. Media, music, games, we're doing more of those things, but apps built around shopping blow those other genres out of the water. I'm talking everything from Amazon to Uber. Sucharita Mupuru follows this for Forrester. Hi, Sucharita.
Hi, Ben.
Why is there kind of an explosion happening here with these kinds of apps?
Well, I think that there is a big reason, which is that retail is an enormous part of the overall economy. Retail is $3 trillion, and there are some great success cases of companies that have grown very quickly in a short period of time, like Uber. And the thought is that we're going to start seeing a significant portion of transactions of that $3 trillion happening on mobile devices.
Is this all a part of just kind of capitalizing on our impulses to buy?
Yeah, I think that whenever we're looking at online retail and e-commerce, it's offered convenience, selection, and value. And that's why people shop online. The value of the mobile device is that you are making that transaction theoretically even more convenient.
Are smartphones really fundamentally changing how we shop now? Do we have real evidence of this at this point?
Yeah, we actually do. When we're even looking at web traffic, nearly half of web traffic for nearly every retailer that we talk to is coming through mobile devices.
How are retailers thinking about this?
A lot of the largest retailers already have apps. And, you know, a lot of the use cases that they have for the app are everything from, you know, a really easy store locator to product information. They have a lot of location-based information. If you're looking for a specific product, they can often identify which aisle that product is in. So it's that combination of how do I support the in-store shopping experience, but how do I also support consumers who may be shopping from home or outside of their home.
Sucharita Mupuru is at Forrester and has been looking at this. Sucharita, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's a reason that poker is a game we are fascinated with. It's not simple. It involves an amount of mathematic complexity and requires a level of strategy that a lot of people, if we're being honest, don't have the brains or the stomach for. It also requires a certain amount of bravado, which is why Matt Damon's card shark character in Rounders, as good a poker movie as one can ask for, says this.
No Limit Texas Hold'em is the Cadillac of poker. The key to the game is playing the man, not the cards.
Well, what if the man is actually a machine? Computer researchers at the University of Alberta in Canada have built an algorithm that they say has solved a version of the game of poker called Heads Up Limit Hold'em. Michael Bowling is a computer science professor who led the team at the University of Alberta. Michael, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be on the show.
All right, first question. Does the algorithm wear dark sunglasses when it plays poker?
Not quite, but kind of, because it plays behind a computer interface, so it doesn't actually have to worry about tipping anyone off with its bad poker face. On the other hand, it doesn't have a camera either, so it can't find your tells either.
We're talking here about Heads Up Limit Hold'em, which is a particular kind of poker, and I love this language because it's so geeky. The creation of the algorithm means that this particular kind of poker can be considered solved. What the heck does that mean?
That actually means that in a sense, the program cannot possibly be beaten. So we're sort of used to thinking of a game like tic-tac-toe as being solved, as in pretty much any adult can play the game and make sure that they can't lose. The slight difference is that there's an element of chance involved in poker. So the program that is perfect might get dealt bad cards, but in the long run, it's going to either have a winning edge or, at worst case, break even.
Is there a machine learning aspect to the algorithm that you've created?
Yeah, the way it's devised its own strategy, we haven't programmed any poker smarts into it. So what it actually has done is actually learned to play the program through playing against itself. Our computing system had 4,000 CPUs, each computing 6 billion poker hands at once, every second. And so in total, it was able to do 25 trillion hands per second as it was playing over a period of 2 months.
Let's hope it wasn't smoking cigars and drinking whiskey the whole time.
The machine room people would have been unhappy if it was doing that.
How does a computer bluff?
It's actually not that hard. All you have to do is bet when you have bad cards.
And a computer can do that just as easily as we can.
That's right. But the real question is, how does the computer know how often to bluff? And that actually comes out of the mathematics of the game. People often think bluffing is a psychological thing, but it's not. And so I need to do that with some probability to play an essentially perfect game.
Are there non-poker applications for this?
Absolutely, or I shouldn't be doing this research. So one of the facets of real-world problems that we want to solve is that they're full of uncertainty. When we make decisions, we typically don't have all the information, and we don't know how other players in our decision-making scenario might react to our choices.
I can imagine like an emergency room.
Sure. That level of uncertainty, I mean, appears in almost every problem that humans have to deal with. And you're right, in an emergency room situation, you're not sure what treatment is needed for each patient and what their risk level is. And then you have new patients coming in and you're uncertain about how that's going to play out. So this result, what we're really hoping is that we've shown that we can solve game theoretic problems like poker. And the interesting question is, can we then find problems which seemed impossible to do, but now we have the techniques that can handle them?
Michael Bowling is a computer science professor at the University of Alberta. Michael, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
By the way, if you want to play this algorithm, which is named Cepheus, or even just ask it how you should play with a given hand, you can. We've posted a link at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.